January 29th, 2025. And we have made it to the other side of the championship weekend. Going to talk a little bit about that, even though we don't really want to. Going to get some too early college football playoff picks in. Going to talk a lot about college basketball here coming up and previously played. Got some more fantasy focus, some running backs to look at coming up next year. See if we do well in our gambling and bring it on home. And I've got a little bit surprised bringing in some untalked about team that we haven't talked about until probably today. So with that, we get things rolling with the top five games of the week.
How'd you like that Super Bowl, Alex?
I don't like it.
No, he did. Yeah. I think the world is tired of it now.
Everybody's tired of it, man. Everybody's tired of it.
Yeah.
That
was a very very disappointing night right there.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
It was a very, very sad day indeed for all of America, except for Kansas City Chiefs fans, Philadelphia Eagle fans, and anybody under the age of probably 25.
The fourth and one was given. That fourth and one was giving me a PTSD of the JT Barrett was short moment.
Yeah, he was first down on the third down play.
It was a first down. Yeah, closer on a third down, but
yeah,
they got a first down on his rush either way.
Like they got to do a better job at the end of the day, but you know, you can only say so much, and then they're just gonna be like, oh, we smacked them. Yeah, sure.
Only Chiefs fan have the blind eyes right now.
Yeah, so they get the pick top five game of the week and actual top five of the game of the week with Chiefs beating the Bills 32-29. Everybody was tuned in for it, hoping for a different outcome. I can't say much more other than bleh. My other pick top five that got into the actual top five was Auburn, Tennessee. That ended up being Auburn winning 53-51. Very close game all the way to the wire. Rock fight, you know, fist fight, whatever you want to call it. Just it was a battle of the SEC teams. And then the third, because I got three out of five. The third is Houston, Kansas game. That went into overtime. Surprisingly, I was thinking Kansas might pull it off. Like I was like, oh, I might have chosen wrong because I chose Houston to win, but Houston pulled it off and they won 92-86 in overtime. And yeah, they seemed to have everything ready to go there once overtime came around.
Yeah, they did. They look good.
My other two that did not make into the actual top five, I picked the Purdue-Michigan game. Purdue pretty much took Michigan to school and beat them 91-64, unfortunately. And honestly, my pick goes south with that one. But, I mean, it's to be expected. Purdue is Purdue. They're going to win at home. They're a basketball school. And then
they're also not losing back-to-back home games because they just lost to Ohio State also. So I knew a beatdown was coming. I just didn't think it was going to be that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a good bounce back game for them. And then the fifth game that I picked to be up there that did not end up there was the Philadelphia-Washington game. Unfortunately, Philadelphia puts up a big 50-burger, 55-23 on Washington. Can't say much more than Saquon Barkley carrying it to the TD end zone.
He's a freak. He's a freak.
So, I mean, that's the one thing I was talking to one of the members today when I was working at the country club is like, if Philadelphia does that against Kansas City, does that help them or does that hurt them? Like if Saquon pops off for that 50 yarder, 40 yarder, aren't you wanting to keep Mahomes off the field more often than trying to go for that big long bomb touchdown? You know, I mean, like which
I mean,
way
you are. I mean, you are, but would you rather have 7 points or no points?
Yeah, like it's a double-edged sword at the end of the day. Like in my mind, So, like, yeah, it's an interesting.
Points are points at the end of the day, so you're still going to take your points.
Yeah. So, and then.
Was that your five?
That was my five. So I went 3 of 5, and then the two actual top five that aren't mentioned is the Vanderbilt Kentucky game. Shout out to Vanderbilt getting another Saturday win against a top tier team like Kentucky, 74-69, and then the Texas A&M game, going 70-69. Very close game. It was definitely a battle of the wits between the big brother little brother duo. It's definitely going to be an interesting game once we see it happen again, because they play each other again later on in February.
Twice. We're going to play in Austin then.
Yep.
Let's go to mine. So my pick top fives, like you, I had the Bills and Chiefs. I had the Eagles Commanders. I had Michigan Purdue. I had Houston and Kansas. And the only one different I had was the Detroit Red Wings versus Montreal. I conceded a little bit with Detroit and Montreal just because that game was really good. It was a good game that just kind of took over at the end. So I wasn't going to include that in my actual top five games. I'm going to say that I went 2-5. So Kansas City and Buffalo, obviously. We don't need to go crazy and talk about that, which we will a little bit later, just talking about the NFL playoffs. But yeah, Kansas City Chiefs 32, Buffalo Bills 29. That is in my top five. And then my other win that I picked was, like we just talked about, the Houston-Kansas game that went to overtime. It was a big win for Houston going into Kansas to win. So big win for them. Made it the top five. And then, yeah, I missed on the other ones. Eagles-Commanders was a terrible one. It was almost like a flip of Commanders-Lions where Commanders just blew it out.
Yeah.
This time Eagles just blew it out. So it was just kind of one of those games that it was like kind of boring at the end of it. So and then we had my other top fives, just like yours. I had Auburn, Tennessee, awesome game. Auburn's proved right now, their resume is absolutely nuts. It is insane how good their resume is right now with the quality wins they have. Winning at Tennessee 53-51. And Tennessee just has another loss. They just lost again last night as we're doing this recording to Kentucky. So
yeah.
That's back-to-back losses for Tennessee. That one hurts them. I had also
this Saturday game that I'm about to work is about to be.
Yeah, it's Florida Tennessee, isn't it? Or
yep, it's one of my upcoming top five picks.
Yep, that'll be mine too. And then yeah, I also had the Texas A&M game. Neither team is really crazy good, like one of these superstar teams, but it was just a good game, a good rivalry team type game. So to come out 70-69 at the end, it was very fun for fans that like either one of those teams to watch that game. I mean, obviously, an A&M fan is going to be heartbroken, but it was a good game to watch regardless. And then, yeah, my last one I had was the Vanderbilt-Kentucky game also. Kentucky goes and beats Tennessee, and then they go and lose to Vanderbilt. I don't make sense of it, of the SEC right now. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah,
good for Vanderbilt. It jumped them, and that's I think like three now top like 10 wins they have. So it jumped them into the top rankings this week. I think they're like number 24. So
yeah, they're on the bubble now. They're one of the last four in now.
Good for them. Good for them. You never hear about Vanderbilt basketball being good. So
no,
it's always fun to see them be good at football and basketball, not just baseball.
Yeah, that's for sure. And yeah, I definitely will ride on that back for a little bit and say, yeah, Vanderbilt definitely needs that upcoming for their programs, because they're kind of struggling trying to pay off their stuff to build for their football stadium and their basketball arena. Like, oh.
Yeah, and especially when you're only really known for being a smart school and a baseball school. So,
no.
Yeah, and then, well, I'll just finish mine off. I had my honorable mention. Since I conceded with Detroit Red Wings against the Canadiens, I will accept an honorable mention with the Red Wings versus Tampa Bay Lightning game. Awesome game. Finished 2-0. It was 1-0 pretty much from the beginning of the second period to the end of the game. It was just a fun game to watch. Not a lot of penalties. So it's like it was just a good hockey game all around, because it wasn't just like blatant penalty stoppage here and there. It was a fast-paced game, and it was close the whole game. So it was fun to watch. It was a good game.
It was a really good game. Like, Tampa kept it close. They had a lot of chances against the Red Wings, especially to score.
End of the game, they missed like three open nets.
Yeah, they just couldn't. They couldn't capitalize and cash it in.
Yeah.
And we had the big old walrus to shoot on, Vasilevsky.
Yeah. Yeah, like big boy, he's a stud.
I send this little sticker to my good friend Blaze right here. Like, I don't know if he'll be able to see it.
He's a Tampa fan.
Like, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's the little walrus with the lightning logo on it. He's like, what is that? I'm like,
it was a great win. It's just, especially for Detroit to beat a big team. Like, they've been winning lately, but it's against teams they kind of should be beating.
Yeah.
This was one of their, besides the Florida game, this was one of their other only staple big team win.
Yep, that's definitely a good big team win, especially for
And
they gotta face them again on Saturday the 8th.
Yep,
so
they got another one.
Gotta do it again, boys.
Keep it rolling.
And then my honorable mention, actually, the score does not really say who the honorable mention goes to. Florida wins 70-69 over South Carolina. The honorable mention goes to South Carolina. Because obviously I'm working this game, and the whole game, South Carolina has the lead. They were leading. They had probably a 12-point lead at one point, maybe a little bit more than that. But Florida somehow fought back, and then they finally get the win. Last 12 seconds, they got the lead, and they win it 70-69. Like, that's crazy talk, man. So, yeah. Like, that's just... That's a big shout out to South Carolina. It's definitely a tough loss for them. They haven't gotten a win in the SEC. They're due. Like, after that game and the game that they had against Georgia, they're due for a win somewhere. My two gut reactions. Hey Google, find other things to do on February 9th.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
No one wants to watch that one. We're probably overreacting a little bit, but I think it honestly might be one of the lowest viewed Super Bowls that I could remember when the ratings come out. Yeah, it's going to be bad. Nah. Yeah.
It's like reading Scroding McBooger Balls all over again.
Scroding McBooger Balls.
The poop that took a pee.
Yeah, that's... I'm definitely not looking forward to this one. It's just not going to be a good one.
No. So you go with your gut reactions, ready to move it on to the entertainment portion of our segment here.
Say that again.
Ready to move on to some entertainment, some too early college football playoff picks. But up first, before we get into that, we still got some playoffs going right now. Obviously, I'm going to go with Kansas City makes history with my Super Bowl pick.
Yep.
We got to just get that out the way. Leave it short. Leave it sweet.
As much as I don't want to pick them, it's leading up to it's just going to be like, why? How can you go against the refs at this point and just like the script that it is? So
yeah, I believe Roger Goodell has something to do with this. He's like, yeah, nobody's been able to do this, but let's let it happen just 1 year, and then not let it happen for the longest time. That way, the Kansas City Chiefs are the only fan base to say, hey, we won it 3 years in a row. So yeah. It's gonna be great.
I'm curious to see what like the Vegas spreads are, because I wonder if it's gonna be like one of those traps where it's like everybody's just gonna pick the Chiefs because it's like it's what's expected now, and then all the money's gonna fall to the Eagles. Everyone's gonna lose money because they're picking the Chiefs. So I'm kind of curious to see what like the spread, over under, money line, what are our odds gonna look like. So that'll determine what I really think was gonna happen.
Well, it came out that the Chiefs are 1.5 favorites as of right now. So
they're what?
1.5 favorites.
1.5.
1.5.
That's just a toss up game.
Yep. And just a little fun fact here, just for you, a little tidbit. This is the ninth Super Bowl that two teams have faced each other multiple times.
Yeah, I feel like we just watched it. I feel like it's just deja vu.
I know. Can you guess the top matchup? Like, there's only one matchup that's happened three times eight have happened to where there's only been two Super Bowls, right? There's only one where two teams have faced each other three times. Can you guess that matchup?
Ooh, that's gonna be, and you're talking about Super Bowl era, not just championship era.
Yeah, Super Bowl era.
I'm gonna go the team that's been there a lot, so I'm gonna say Patriots is one.
Nope.
Are they in there?
They're part of the twos.
That's what I'm saying. So okay, so I got Patriots in there.
But they're not part of the three. You got to guess the two teams that face each other three times in the Super Bowl. There's only been two teams to do that.
Patriots and Eagles.
Nope.
Didn't they face three times?
Nope. Only twice.
Oh, I could have sworn they played them earlier, then lost to Nick Foles. Oh, no, they never did play the third time. They only played twice. You're right. Who would be the other team? So it's the Patriots. Who else did they beat?
No, the Patriots. They're one of the twos. They're one of the twos, right?
I thought you were saying they're one of the two teams.
No. Sorry. No, I'm confusing you. No.
Okay. So Patriots are not one of the two teams in the Super Bowl. Is it the Steelers in there?
Yep. So it's Steelers.
Let's just keep it rolling with some teams that have been in there all the time. Let's go Steelers and Cowboys.
Yeah, there you go.
Look at that. Look at that conclusion. Just that my brain working on it.
Super Bowl 13, Super Bowl 30, and Super Bowl 33.
Nice. So it was all right in that same era, that little time era they had.
Yeah. So those are the only two teams that faced each other three times. Everybody else has faced each other twice. So yeah, you've got Eagles, Chiefs, Eagles, Patriots. You've got Cowboys. I forgot all the other ones, honestly, but yeah, like there's a good nine matchups that have happened to where they faced each other twice. So I just thought was a good little tidbit to add in there, a little fun fact.
That's pretty cool.
Moving on to our too early college football pick'em. So this is just our top 12. We're not going any further. We're just picking the 12 from seed 1 to 12.
So I didn't know if you wanted to pick seed 1 to 12 or just pick top 12, just your 12. Want to do seedings on this?
Yeah, seeding as well.
Oof, I'm gonna have to think about that for a second.
Make it tough. So I'll go first because I did it in the way that I think is going to be seeded. Just the way that it is. All right, so my number one seed going into the college football playoff will be the Texas Longhorns. My number two seed is going to be Penn State. I believe Penn State has a lot to prove, and they have
a lot of guys returning.
Yeah,
they're my favorite in the Big Ten. They're my favorite.
And then my number three is going to be BYU, and then my number four is going to be Clemson. But I could flip either of those two at this point.
That's fair. I like BYU, but I left them off mine.
I could see both BYU and Clemson being either the three or the four. So right now I've got BYU at three and Clemson at four just because how weak the ACC is compared to the Big 12.
No, that's fair.
And then my number five is Georgia. My number six is Notre Dame. My number seven, Michigan.
Yeah, I like it.
Hail to the victors. Number eight.
Making it back.
They're coming back to play again. Those darn championship Buckeyes. But they're the seed behind us because we beat them again.
See, and I was going to do the same thing. I was actually going to do something similar to you, but not for the reason to keep them in front of us or keep us in front of them. It was for what if we can get a national championship of Michigan, Ohio State?
That would be pretty cool.
So you would need one to be seven or six and one to be seven at that point.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So I'm at, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you're on 7, 8. So, yep, Ohio State coming in at 8. Number nine is LSU. LSU has a little bit of a hump to get overcome. They got a little bit of rebuild coming back. The biggest part of me wants to say this doesn't really happen just because of Brian Kelly, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's a choke artist.
Yes,
Very big choke artist.
Exactly. But I don't see really anybody else other than maybe Ole Miss coming out of the SEC to replace them. But right behind them is Florida, the team that I work for. I believe Billy Napier has a pretty stellar season. Like he brought everybody back, it seems like, for this next coming season that played, and they didn't have the worst season that everybody thought they would have, and they pretty much left the last season pretty hot in my mind to where they could start off that way next season and be good. My number 11 seed is Oregon. Oregon doesn't play either Michigan or Ohio State, to where if they come out with one loss or two losses, that the college football playoff is just going to look at them like, hey, they deserve to have the chance because they didn't play either of these teams. I honestly think it's going to be between Penn State and Oregon for the Big Ten championship, unless Michigan has a better season than what I'm thinking.
I think Michigan has their quarterback. If their quarterback play is there, they have a chance.
No.
That's the only thing that's missing. That's the only thing missing this year.
And then obviously the 12 seed or the automatic bye going to the non-Power 5 school of Boise State. I believe Boise State does pretty well there in the Pac-12. Like they're in the Pac-12 now, or at least what's the Pac-8, because they're going to be eight teams. And I believe that they have a good conference to play in. They're going to have a good schedule, and they're going to make it back into the college football playoff as that last seed.
I like that.
Get in there and not have the automatic bye like they did.
Okay. All right. So I like that 12. We do have some differences in there. So same, kind of close to same in the beginning. So my number one, I will go with Texas. That they're going to have, I mean, they're losing some weapons on wide receiver. You're losing Quinn Ewers, but they have the Manning kid right there behind them, and arguably probably going to be better than Quinn Ewers. So their defense will still be good. So I see Texas taking the SEC and being the number one overall seed. My number two, you know what, let's give them some love. I will go with Penn State also. I think Penn State has a chance to have one of their, if not one of the best years they've ever had as a program, with just the sheer fact of how many people are returning. Like, both running backs are coming back for their senior year. Their quarterback's coming back. A couple wide receivers are coming back. Some of their offensive line are coming. Like, they're loaded next year. They're pulling the same kind of playbook like Michigan and Ohio State did to win their championship, where they had a bunch of returners come back. So, and I wouldn't be mad if Penn State won it all. So I think Penn State will take the Big Ten next year and be the number two seed. My number three seed is going to be Clemson. I think Clemson has a comeback, and I think Dabo pulls it around. I think if Clemson doesn't have a comeback this year, Dabo Sweeney's kind of on the line, just because they just have not looked like the same Clemson the last few years. So I think they do make a big run. I think they kind of sweep the ACC this year. And then they take that number four spot right there? Number three. So then that's my number three. My number four. So if we got to go by seeding, it's not like the best team. It's just going to be who wins the conference and then they get in.
Yeah,
so
those top four, that's just how they rank them. So, yeah, it's not our ranking. So it's just how we think they're going to end up being in that. Yep. Yeah, being seeded.
So my number four will be Iowa State then out of the Big 12. I think Iowa State has a lot of good returners this year, really good running backs. So they were almost there to win the Big 12 this past year, and I think they pull over. I don't know if they're going to do really good in the playoffs, but I think they have the shot to take that four seed and win the Big 12. So they'll be my four seed. My five seed is my basically second best overall team. Well, I guess third, because I think Penn State's going to be the second best overall. I'm going to give it to Tennessee. I think Tennessee pulls over that hump in the SEC because they have a really good returning quarterback, and he's young. So I think Tennessee pulls over the hump, gets that number five seed, and then we'll move to my sixth seed, which is going to be Georgia. I think Georgia comes back hot and heavy. They're going to be good. Like they have been, they have a good recruiting class, and their freshman quarterback has gotten a lot of experience already in the playoffs, so it's just going to be better for them going into next year. My next, which would be what, my seven? My seven will be Alabama. Now, check that. My seven is going to be Ohio State. So Ohio State's going to be my next in line. Yeah, they're just going to make a run for it. I have them ahead of us for now. I still think we beat them because we're playing in Michigan. So I'll have Ohio State. Then, right like you, back-to-back, I'll have it with Michigan. Michigan will be my next team. I think they do figure it out at quarterback with either Bryce Underwood, Mikey Keene, or Jaden Davis. One of them is going to lead the squad. They have a bunch of returners, solid defense coming back. So, yeah, I think they have that shot to be that 8 seed, at least 8 seed or something like that. 9 seed, I think Miami is going to be in there. I think with the Carson Beck transfer, I think they're going to be in. They're going to be a good team next year. Basically, that's all they needed last year was Cam Ward. Cam Ward's a generational-type quarterback, but I think Carson Beck can lead a talented roster Miami team into the playoffs. I think the ACC will get two teams, and I think that's going to be the second team.
Yeah.
Going into my number 10, I'm going to give it to Oregon. Like you, I have them a little bit higher. I think they will have a better season just because they don't have to play Michigan or Ohio State, so their one loss might only just be to Penn State, which would be impressive. So I'm going to put Oregon in there as my number 10 team. My number 11 will be Notre Dame, just because, again, they don't play anybody really, so it's kind of easy for them to make it in. If they can make it in with a one loss to Northern Illinois, they can make it in with a one loss to anybody. So
yep.
I don't see them losing two games. That's for sure. So they're going to be in. That's just kind of how it is. Notre Dame just lose one game, they're in then. And my last team, I'll give it to Alabama. I think they have the recruiting. They have everything they need to be that good team. And I don't think the committee's going to leave them out. The ESPN would lose their minds if you leave Alabama out back-to-back years. So I'm going to give them Alabama as my number 12.
All right. I kind of like that, kind of don't like that. Just, you know, how I feel about the Crimson Tide. But who's to say?
I'm a big fan, but I just...
Yeah, we'll see how that all pans out here in, you know, a year and a half from now. So, all right, upcoming week, top five games to watch. I've already mentioned one earlier, being that of the Florida Gators Tennessee Volunteers game. I'm kind of scared now since Tennessee has lost games to both Kentucky and to Vanderbilt, and now they're at home. This is a home game for the Volunteers, and the Florida Gators have been struggling lately. Like I said, they almost beat South Carolina. They led the last 12 seconds, and then the game that they just played against wasn't Georgia. They wiped the floor with Georgia. Who was it? It was on Saturday. I do believe. No, that was the Georgia game. I guess, yeah. They had their little bounce back with Georgia. And, yeah, I guess this would be the bounce back game for Tennessee, and Florida's got to put on their big boy britches and try and keep up with them. Because, yeah, I can see this going where it can be a rock fight, and it'll stay in the actual top five, and I will go at least 1-for-5, or it will be a miss for me, and Tennessee will wipe the floor with Gators all night. So, yeah, it's right now in my pick top five game, and it will remain there, and we'll see how I do with that one. My other games in my top five is the number 4 Alabama Crimson Tide at number 14 Mississippi State Bulldogs. It will be interesting to see how the Crimson Tide play on the road. Like we've been saying, week in and week out, road games are kind of hard to find in the SEC, but I'm sure Alabama can probably pull this one off against the Bulldogs, along with the Auburn Tigers. They are also on the road, going to visit number 23 Ole Miss Rebs. And that's number 3 right there in my top 3. And then my bottom two, number 4 coming in, is the UNC-Duke game. I believe anytime that game comes around basketball-wise, that should be a top 5 game no matter what. It should be there.
Yep.
Picked. If you're an analyst, it should be there. One
of the games in college sports.
Yep. It's everybody looks for it. Everybody watches it every time they play, twice a year. So, And then coming in at number five is number 19, UConn, at number 10, Marquette. It's going to be interesting to see if UConn can get a win on the road, especially against a very hot Marquette right now. They're playing really, really well, especially at home.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, we kind of have a lot of similarities in ours right there. So my top five games, I have number one, got to put them there, UNC Duke. I don't know if it's going to be a great game, but it's the rivalry game. So, like, all records aside, it's war. You kind of wish UNC was having a better year, so it would be, like, an awesome, like, top five matchup, but yeah, it'll still be a good game. It's the battle between the blue bloods, so it'll be a fun game to watch. Also, like you, I had Alabama, Mississippi State as my top five games to watch. It's just another top SEC college basketball matchup, and it's a big one for Bama because they've already got a couple losses, so they're going to need to pull this one out. It's going to be a tough one, but they're just going to have to pull that out. My third, I will go to hockey. I got the Winnipeg Jets taking on the Boston Bruins. Big matchup. It's a top teams playing right here. So I would like to see the Jets beat the Bruins just for the Red Wings' sake, get a little closer to the Bruins catching them. So it's a battle for standings at that point. It's a big matchup, so I like it. And yep, it's kind of like a repeat. I have Bruins in there twice, but I'll skip it a little bit. I'll go – next one is the Florida-Tennessee game, like you as well. It's a big matchup, another SEC powerhouse game. It feels like that's just a repeat saying – every week, another SEC powerhouse top five game, but it is. Florida-Tennessee will be a fun game to watch. They're two high-scoring teams, so I'm excited for that one. My last one, I've got the New York Rangers taking on the Boston Bruins, so another Bruins game. Just because it's where these two teams are in the standings, it's a Rangers are battling to get back up after having a terrible little slide right there, and Bruins are trying to hold on to what they have in that little third spot, so it'll be a good game. Both mean something to both teams, so I'll be excited to watch that one.
Yeah, that should be a good game, especially how the rankings are and how tight it's getting for the wild card race, especially this time of the year for the NHL. All right, so yep. To clarify with our gut predictions, I'm taking the Tide over the Bulldogs. I'm taking the Vols over the Gators. I'm taking the Auburn Tigers over the Rebs. Taking the Blue Devils over the Tar Heels, and then taking Marquette over UConn.
Yeah, I like that. I like the Marquette over UConn. So with my predictions, I have Duke beating UNC just because it's at Duke, and Duke's looking pretty dang good right now. I have the Jets beating the Bruins. I have Tennessee beating Florida. Sorry, Alex, but Tennessee's not losing three games.
Yeah, that's what I'm predicting too. Like, I mean,
not happening.
I already predicted the Volunteers to win at home already. Like, I didn't even have to look at last night's game to predict this one.
Yep. So, yep, I'm going to take Tennessee in that one, and then I have the Rangers beating the Bruins, so a double loss for Bruins, so the Red Wings can catch up. And then my last one, don't give a damn about nothing but the Tide. So we're rolling Tide against Mississippi State.
Roll Tide.
Nothing but the Tide.
All right. Moving on to Fantasy Focus. So we are picking top 12 running backs for next year. And then we're going to see what we picked for our best incoming rookie running back to get a hot start. All right. I will lead things off here with the top 12 because I don't know what I'm doing. And you could just come in right along and just be like, nope, nope. All right. Number one, Derrick Henry. I'm taking him at my number one spot. And then I'm taking Saquon Barkley at number two. I'm taking Robinson from the Atlanta Falcons, Bijan Robinson from the Falcons. And then I'm taking my boy, Sonic Gibbs. Give me some Gibbs. And then coming in at number five is Joe Mixon. Number six is Alvin Kamara. Number seven, Knuckles, David Montgomery. Especially if he gets healthy enough to play, he'll definitely be a good number 7. I could see him falling a little bit if he's not fully healthy and can't play the whole season, unfortunately.
That's risky. You're putting two lines in the top 12, huh?
I mean, just the way that we normally played them, they took one ball, one, and then they took the other, then they took the one, then they took the other. I mean, it's been they always juggle the two of them somehow, and they end up there to be like, I mean, if Montgomery didn't get hurt, I would have thought he would have ended up probably top 12 running backs of the year. You know, just the way everything was going for the Lions. So,
yeah.
So, and then let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Number 8, I've got Zach Charbonnet for the Seattle Seahawks. Number 9, I've got.
So you think Charbonnet is going to take over for Ken
yep.
Walker?
Yep, I believe that he pretty much blasted right. off at the end of the season. I think he should get the start. Like, the kid's been pretty stellar.
He had an awesome end of the year.
Yeah, he's been pretty stellar for the Seahawks.
I like the prediction.
Like, I don't see why they wouldn't start him. Like, he played really well for Michigan. He played really well for UCLA. Like, yeah, he's been, you know, the rookie, the guy that's to come off the bench for them. But I think he should get the nod and get the start coming next season.
I like it.
Yeah. 12, 11, 10, 9. I've got your guy Jacobs for the Packers coming in at number 9. Number 10, I've got J.K. Dobbins for the Chargers coming in.
He's still there because he might leave.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I still think he's a really good running back.
Does it change for you if he's not a Charger?
Well, no. At the end of the day, he's a really good running back. He does a lot for them. And the only other teams I could see him going to is probably the Raiders or the Titans. I don't know any other team that really needs a running back other than the Cowboys. But I think the Cowboys are going to get their running back. I think the Cowboys are going to get their running back out of the draft. I think
they're taking Genty.
Yeah. So like that's just what I, you know, coming in hot at number 11. CMC.
CMC's back.
He's back, but he's still hurt.
Yeah.
It was hard for me to even put him up here in the top 12 just because you got to compare him to a really injured season that he just had. And, you know, like just the way that San Francisco played at the end of the season still was not like very, you know, I don't know. Like San Francisco didn't play really well at the end of the season. They were kind of falling, wheels were falling off the wagon left and right. And yeah, if anything, they're going to be relying on him more than anything because Debo's going to be Debo and then Purdy's going to be Purdy. And yeah, they might get it done, but again, they might not. So that's why he's ended up there at 11. And then coming in at number 12, I've got HN for the Miami Dolphins. I believe the Dolphins do have somewhat of a turnaround season, but that's still be to be seen. The NFC or AFC East, sorry. The AFC East is still pretty top heavy with the Bills being top dog. And then, they've still got to go through the Patriots too and the Jets, but the Jets aren't that much greater. And I see the Jets kind of having somewhat of a lackluster year, but they've got, you know, my boy Aaron Glenn at the helm, and yeah, we'll see how that works out for them.
I like it. Yeah, I can see it. So my top 12s, my first one, my number one is going to be Bijan. Bijan's got to be number one just from how he finished last year. How I think they'll just continue to give him more of a bigger workload. So Bijan's going to be number one. Number two, I got Saquon. I don't think he's going to have near the season he just had this year, but I think Saquon will, he could easily finish as the number one, but not just not be that 2,000-yard rusher. He'll probably be like 1,500, maybe more touchdowns than what he had this year. But Barkley will be my number two. Number three, give it to your boy, Jahmyr Gibbs. I'm going to give it to Gibbs on this one.
Sonic.
If Montgomery goes down again, Gibbs. Yeah, if Montgomery goes down again, Gibbs could be easily my number one. But just because Montgomery's there, he's going to be my number three. Number four, you got to give it to old man Derrick Henry. Just keeps defying all the odds, so I just got to stick with him. He's going to be my guy there. After Henry, go back to another older guy. I must stick with Christian McCaffrey, CMC. I think he's going to be fully healthy. He's going to have a whole offseason to get healthy even more, and he said he's already about there. So come next year, I think he could have another big season, maybe not like the old McCaffrey, but still a good enough season to get him in that top five. My number six is going to be James Cook. Just from watching him in the playoffs, James look amazing. So I think he's going to carry that over and have another exciting, solid season. He had a lot of touchdowns, so that might regress a little bit back to like down a little bit back to normal. But I could see him maybe getting a little bit more yards, looking more of like a workhorse back. So I'll give James Cook right there at my number six. Number seven, I've got Devon Achane. He's just a lightning bug back there. He's basically like Tyreek Hill in a running back form. And I think the Dolphins are going to be kind of like on the hot seat. They got to get it together next year. And I think if they can stay healthy, they'll have that exciting team like they had in the past. So I'm going to give Achane my number seven. My number eight is going to be Kyren Williams. He's just a touchdown machine. He's just a workhorse. I do think they're going to mix in our guy from Michigan, Blake Corman, a little bit more next year. But Kyren's still their bell cow. He's going to be heavy dosage of him next year again with the Rams. Number nine? Yeah, number nine, I got Josh Jacobs, similar to you. Yep. He's just, again, just like Kyren Williams is, he's just a bell cow for the Packers. He just gets all the carries, and near the end of the season, he was just getting all the touchdowns too. So I'll give him my number nine. My number 10 is the rookie sensation that came out of nowhere. Everybody's free agent pickup, Bucky Irving.
Okay,
I think if Tampa doesn't go crazy and add another running back, or they just kind of keep the status quo as is, Bucky Irving could easily finish in that top 10 area. So I'm going to put him in there. He looked good running, so I'd be excited to take him like in lower rounds if he falls in the right spot in drafts next year.
Yeah, so no sophomore slump for him.
Nope, I think he's too electric. I think he's going to have a good year next year again, barring if he's not just splitting nonstop. So
yeah,
I'll have Bucky there. And then my number 11 is another freshman going into a sophomore season, Chase Brown with the Bengals. Just basically any running back in this high-potent offense is going to get you points, and he looked good doing it last year, receiving and running. So he's a dual-threat back that easily has top 12 potential, top 8 potential if the Bengals don't add another running back, which they might. So if they don't, Chase Brown could easily, if they don't add another running back and he's their bell cow, he could easily be a top 5. He reminds you of like McCaffrey, where he gets all the receptions and all the rushes. So easily has potential to be a top 5, but he will be in my top 12 no matter what, even if they add a running back. And then going in to finish it off, my number 12 will be Joe Mixon. He had an unbelievable season. He had another older running back. But Houston runs that zone-style running game that he loves, where it's just like a one-step and cut. So Joe Mixon looks good when he does that one-step and cut. He's explosive when he does it. And this offense, that kind of style, that zone run game, is what Joe Mixon succeeds at. So I think Joe Mixon can easily finish back in the top 12, barring injuries.
Nice. I like that. I like that little lineup you've got there. I like to copy and paste that for my next fantasy football.
Yeah, I'll copy and throw it in there for you.
All right.
Throw them in there on yes.
So best incoming rookie running back to start hot.
Best rookie running back. So mine and yours is probably going to be the same. I guess if you want one or two. I got Ashton Jeanty, obviously, is the number one.
Yep. That's for sure.
I can't remember his name, and I'm sorry for not remembering his name, but the Tennessee running back is electric, and I can't remember his name for some reason.
Oh, the Tennessee running back. Okay.
He's a stud, and he's going to be one of the top running backs taken, so he's going to be in there. And then the other one's going to be Quinshon Judkins because he's a similar style runner as Tennessee. So those would be my three that have potential to be just studs right out the gate.
I've got Quinshon Judkins as my second one to Ashton Jeanty as well. Let me see here. I'm looking up. Let's see here. Mock draft. Kuypers. Because we rely on you, Kuyper. We rely on you. Nope. Sure. That's a wideout. That's a linebacker. That's a cornerback. OT, wideout. Tight end, defensive, linebacker. There's Jeanty going to the Denver Broncos.
I can see the Broncos is a team that needs a running back.
At pick number 20.
Okay.
Let's see here. Any other running backs going?
Who do they have Dallas taken? Because I think Dallas would have been a good one.
What pick does Dallas at? I am at pick 20.
That got to be a somewhat early pick. Yeah. No, they got to be higher than that.
They're taking wide receiver Luther Burden from Missouri, according to Mel Kiper.
That is a stud wide receiver right there.
I don't see any other running backs other than Jeanty going round
that
one.
That guy, you'll be hearing about Luther Burden next week's episode when we talk about wide receivers for next week. So,
ooh, Devin Neal, running back for Kansas, is a good one. That's
Devin Neal. He is a good one.
He was. And then they're mentioning Omar Norman from Tennessee. Oh, boy. Because, like, that's the thing. I'm just scrolling through all this just to see if I can find the top players here. Let's see here. I need to go back into NFL drafts. Where'd you go? Oh, I'm back into the NFL. That's the thing about ESPN. You got to go into NCAA football, go into NFL drafts from there, and then you'll find everything. Let's see here. Best available. Running backs. Jeanty. All right. Tennessee, Dylan Sampson. There we go. They got him at.
Sampson.
They got him as the number 10 running back for the draft right now, behind a lot of players. They got Omarion Hampton from Carolina at 2, Caleb Johnson at 3, Quinshon Judkins at 4, Nicholas Singleton from Penn State at 5, Jordan James from Oregon at 6, Trayvon Henderson from Ohio State at 7, Trevor Etienne at 8, Cam Scadabo from Arizona State at 9, and then
oh yeah, good old Cam Scadabo. Can't forget about him.
Previously mentioned Cam Dylan Scadabo. Sampson, and hey,
okay,
guess who's at 16 and 17? Khalil Mullings and the Don
and Donham
the Don.
I could see Khalil Mullings have a sneaky good NFL career. He's a good solid. Power running back. I could see him having a good one.
But yeah, it's a little tidbits of what you got to find here. And then look ahead to some wide receivers, see if I can use this cheat sheet for wide receivers for next week. Because obviously it's going to be that guy that's at the top of the list. All right. Yeah. Anyways, moving on to some gambling men now. I drew up a three-leg parlay, got an honorable mention that I would like to throw out there, and then it looks like my same-game parlay, you don't want to bet on it, Kyle.
I don't want to bet on your same-game parlay.
You don't want to bet. It looks like it. I can look at your notes and look at my notes, and it seems like you're just saying
I had to change mine because when we were scheduled to – bet on or to do our podcast yesterday, I had to change mine because all my games were literally last night, so I had to change them on the fly.
I changed mine too, Like I had games last night too. So yeah, my 3-leg parlay, I had to take one leg out and sub in a different one. So I've got the Canucks money line over the Preds tonight. That's at +120. Bama money line over Mississippi State. That's at -105. And then I've got the Chiefs money line over the Eagles. That's at -130, making a total of +659, which is $10 paying out at 75.
Okay. I like that. So my 3-leg parlay, I went 0 for 3 last week. It was a bad week.
Same.
20 and 16 overall. 20 and 16 overall, so I'm still winning, but I did not have a good week. I've been on a little cold stretch here these last like 3 weeks. So my first one, I have Creighton taking the -5.5 over Xavier in college basketball. Xavier's been hot. I think Xavier's the team that just beat UConn. Creighton has a really good team and they have a really good record and they're playing at Creighton. I think Creighton can cover this 5.5 points, so I like it. So I'm taking Creighton -5.5 over Xavier. My number two is Alabama versus Mississippi State over 166 in points. Now, I know what you were thinking. The 166 points is crazy amount in college basketball. Usually your over under spreads are around the 145-ish, 140, somewhere in there. So 166 is a lot of points in a college basketball game. But I went through all of Alabama's away games and then all of Alabama's away games, all of Mississippi State home games. Mississippi State at home has averaged around like 84 points somewhere in there a game. And Alabama's averaging like 87 or something like that on the road. Alabama scored over 100 points like 5 times this year. So to say
Yeah,
this game could be an
there's been a
eight.
lot of games that have gone triple digits. Like that, it's crazy in the SEC. Like they just get high scoring, high octane games there in the SEC.
To say this game can't be 84 to 82 or 84 to 83, I could easily see it being that. So I'm going to take the over on that 166. My last one, I like the UCLA plus spread over Oregon, whatever it's going to be. It hasn't come out yet. I think UCLA is going to beat Oregon. So if you're feeling it, take the money line because you're probably going to get better odds. But I would take the plus spread if you just want to be safe. It'll probably be like 3, 4 points.
Yeah.
If it's really small, if it's just like +1, just take the money line. You're going to get better odds on it. But I like the UCLA plus whatever the spread is. So plus whatever the spread, +5, +6. I like that over Oregon.
All right, I like that. That sounds great to me. So leading into our honorable mentions, my honorable mention is going to a triple chance bet. We've got the Pebble Beach Pro-Am coming up this weekend. Tees off tomorrow morning. I've got the triple chance of Scheffler, JT, and Åberg to win, sitting at +230. I kind of like the odds on one of those three guys to win this Pro-Am.
I like that. I like that. So that's your player prop. You only did what? Just that?
No, that's just my honorable mention. Your honorable
Oh,
mention
your
it.
honorable mention.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we were talking about the honorable mentions. My honorable mention is gonna be a crazy one, and I don't know if I'll take it, but I probably will just for fun. I'll
That's what
take the
it's there
West
for,
Virginia.
is for fun.
I'll take the West Virginia. I'll take the West Virginia plus spread against Houston. So Houston's gonna be mighty favorites against this, especially after coming off a win at Kansas. Got to go to West Virginia now. So Houston's got to travel to West Virginia, play at West Virginia, and West Virginia is a sneaky good team this year. They're not like a slump. They have some good quality wins.
They've actually
It's
beaten
hard.
some of the better teams in the Big 12 here lately. Like they've had some
Exactly.
tough losses, but when they play a good team, they play pretty good against them.
Yes. So there are no slouches. Don't sleep on them. I mean, if it's outrageous, if it's like a +800, I might take the money line. But to be safe, I'm definitely going to probably smash that West Virginia plus spread. I think West Virginia can pull off an upset on this one.
All right. I like that. That sounds a little gratuitous for me. All right, so same game parlay now. My same game, I'm going with the UNC Duke game. I'm going to take the Duke money line over UNC, and then to parlay with that, I'm taking flags, points, whatever they put it at. Usually it's right around 21 plus, 19, 20, 21. I would like to take that. Obviously, there are no odds on it as of right now. That won't probably happen until Saturday, the day of the game. So, yeah, that would be my same game parlay for the week.
Okay. I like it. So, for my same game parlay of the week, last week I went 1-for-2. I'm currently 1-for-2 since we just started it last week. So, 1-2 is my overall record. My first one, so my game is going to be the Florida Panthers versus the LA Kings. It's LA going to Florida, so it is pretty much the furthest a team has to play to or travel to go play a team in hockey, one of them. So I'll take the Panthers pluck line of -1.5 on that. I think Panthers will win at least by 2, whether it be an empty net at the end or they just win by multiple goals. So I'm going to hammer the Panthers -1.5 against the Kings. I'm going to take the Panthers to be the first team to score as well. And then I'm going to take a Sam Bennett 2+ shots on goal for a whopping +300 odds on that one.
Wow. Jeez, that's a lot of money right there. Oh, boy. Yes, please.
Yeah, that's not bad odds right there. I like it.
Not at all. All right. Now, our player props of the week. I'm going with the all-time bummer game. This is going to last more than a week because obviously it's not this week, but it's upcoming. So it's going to last this episode and next episode. And I'm going to just stick with it. I'm going to go with
I was about to ask you because you had some Super Bowl ones in there. I'm going to do mine next week.
I know I should be doing something else, but I just don't see any other player props that I really want to go with.
It is what it is.
So I'm taking Barkley anytime TD. I'm taking Hurts anytime TD, and then I'm taking Worthy anytime TD.
Okay.
I just like those.
You're going the anytime TD routes on this one. You like those guys to score.
I like all three of them to score because Saquon can score. Hurts is going to score off of a tush push, and then Worthy's going to get a pass from Mahomes and score a touchdown.
I like it. It's not terrible, not terrible. So let's see, my top player props for the week. I was 2-1 last week, puts me to 13-7 overall. So one of my better performances is through this. I almost kind of did like a same game parlay with this one also just because I liked the statistics on it. So Detroit's playing Edmonton, I think, on Friday or one of the games here coming up shortly.
Yeah.
Edmonton is the number one team in the entire NHL on shots on goal average. They average around 32 shots on goal. Detroit is like 28th, so almost dead last on shots on goal allowed. So I'm going to hammer me some player props of shots on goal. So I'm going to take a Draisaitl. If you want to get a little froggy with this one, you can go to 3+ shots, but I'm going to stick it low. I'm going to go Draisaitl 2+ shots versus Detroit. I'll also go on the same game with McDavid's going to get at least 1 point. He's kind of been a crusher against Detroit. He usually always has really good games when he plays against the Red Wings. So I'm going to give McDavid 1+ point. And my last one is for Penn State when they play Ohio State this weekend. Or I think it's actually tonight or tomorrow. Ace Baldwin to get 12+ points against Ohio State. He's their stud scorer. You can almost guarantee him to get double digits, especially at home. I was looking at his stats and his splits from home and away. He does really well at home. So I would like to bet on that 12+ points, or even if it's like 14, 15, I would take whatever it's going to give you on points to go over, or at least hit that. Unless it's 20, don't ever bet on a player to get at least 20. That's really hard to do in college basketball. So if it's like 15 and below, take the points over on with Ace Baldwin against Ohio State.
Gotcha. Yeah. That game is tomorrow night at 6:30 on FS1.
Yep. I thought it was tomorrow.
So yeah, that leads into our do not bet on it portion of this segment. Don't bet on the NBA. Just don't do it. I was trying to find something else. And guess where I went? I went to the NBA and I was like, all right, is there something here? No, it's like heavily favored in teams that, you know, like that are favored, that it makes sense. Like it's almost like you're putting pennies to nickels at this point. It's like it's not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, you're right. the teams that are not favored, like I don't know the NBA that well to like be like, oh yeah, they're not favored, but they could probably win that game. No, I can't say that. And then do not bet, and I will have this again next week. Do not bet on the Eagles winning the Super Bowl. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Vegas wants you to do it. Everybody in the world wants you to do it.
I think Vegas wants you to bet on the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. So you might. I don't know.
I don't think
it's gonna happen. I think the Chiefs are gonna win.
The Chiefs are going to make history. They are on a war path to make history. There's nobody stopping them. I am sorry. Like
Saquon.
You can do it. If that take goes bad, I will live with that. I will be happy that if that take goes bad, I don't care. at this point,
if anyone's going to stop Mahomes and the Chiefs, it's going to be the gang of Philly, and that's going to be Charlie Day with Mac. The gruesome twosome is going to come out.
The gruesome twosome's
coming out to destroy Mahomes.
So, Green Man,
come on. Come on, Grisham Twosome. Bring the green man.
Bring
McBoyles out. Bring the McBoyles out. They're coming for him. Charlie better be doing his tradition, Philly pregame tradition in the bar.
Distract Patrick Mahomes by making him five Pepe Silva.
You know, the Pepe Silvia. Hey, no, Pepe Silvia.
Hey, Pepe Silva.
All right, well, that's... I like him. Okay, that's fair. I don't bet on it. Let's pivot a little here since I won't do those until next week with the Super Bowl. So mine is don't bet on UNC Duke. It's rivalry games, as people had learned from Ohio State.
Too late,
Michigan.
I did. Too late, I did.
As you've learned from Ohio State, Michigan, that was 20.5-point favorites. Don't bet on these games. The big, big, big rivalry games. Records are thrown out the door in these games. So, yeah, I don't know how this game's going to go. Don't know. It's just going to be a fun game to watch, hopefully, and they usually are. So, my number two is going to be the Auburn-LSU game. I think this is that little circled game after Auburn's been just destroying everybody they've been playing. Got to go down into Baton Rouge and play LSU at LSU. I think this could be an upset game. So, stay away from the Auburn-LSU game. I could see Auburn having a little road bump here on this game and having a possible loss in the SEC. And my last one is going to be the Michigan Wolverines versus the Rutgers Knights.
Yeah.
I don't like this game. Michigan's been – Scarlet Knights, there it is. The Michigan has been struggling to shoot the ball very bad recently. So they had a lot better turnover game against Penn State. So as long as they can do that – Rutgers has two lottery picks on their team. Even though Rutgers isn't that great of a team, they have two superstars on that team. I just don't like what could happen. Michigan could figure out their woes and just shoot lights out in this game and blow them out. Or Michigan could just turn the ball over nonstop and Rutgers just dismantles them like Purdue did. I don't know. I don't like to touch these kind of games because they just have two superstars. It's a road game for Michigan. Yeah, I'm not touching that one. So that's my last don't bet on that one.
All right. Now, going back home, homeward bound here. All right. Bring on home with some Lions they hire within for their defensive coordinator. I'm really liking that hire for them. And then they go grab an OC from Denver, you know. I mean, it is what it is, and got to do what you got to do. Sorry, Denver, but... We need an OC, and we decided to grab your OC. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Hopefully it's a good old rebuild year or reload year, I should say. Shouldn't be rebuilding.
A reload year for him.
So.
Yeah, I think you guys will be fine. I mean, you guys are loaded on offense. You guys are just out. And all your defense is just only going to get better. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see you guys struggling too much. So I think you guys will figure it out. You'll have the same similar type of season. On a side note, did you see the Super Bowl logo for next year?
Yes, I did. It looks pretty blue to me. It looks pretty blue to me.
That's a lot of blue.
That's a lot of blue.
So my prediction My prediction right now, next year, it's going to be the Bills and Lions.
So they won't
or have the Bills and Panthers.
Or the Bills and Rams.
Or the Bills and Rams, yeah.
Who are the other blue teams? Who are the other blue teams?
Who are the other ones?
I don't know.
No, nah,
I
mean, so yeah,
you got the Titans. You got the Colts.
They have the roster to do it to win right now. Same with the Bills. I would like to see Lions Bills, and I think Lions have probably one of the best chances out of the NFC to go and repeat what they did last year.
Or will it be two teams that have never been there before? Because there is a blue team in the AFC that is blue, that's never been there before. Blue's not really their main color. They have red. And they're called the Houston Texans. Texans haven't been. Two teams that have never been to the Super Bowl before just face off against each other.
Yep.
That'd be interesting.
That would be an interesting game.
But anywho, all right. Wolverines basketball finished January with only one loss. One loss. That's not too bad. I like that. I like the sound of that. That's definitely a good positive to come out of January with only one loss in my mind. I mean, just the way that they've been playing and, you know, how this season's going for them. I mean, they're projected to be number 3 seed, number 4 seed right now. So
yeah, I think after that loss and then a win against Penn State, they haven't figured in the win against Penn State. So after the loss they had to Purdue, I think they put them at like a 5 again. So they're gonna hover, like you said, that 3, 4, 5, 6. They're gonna hover between that all year round, depending, as long as they bounce back against the losses. They're gonna have more losses. I think the KenPom rankings have them projected to be, I think, like 22-9, I think, to finish the season. So, I mean, yeah, they're going to be a solid team. They'll be a 5, 6, 4, somewhere in there, if I had to guess. They look good against Penn State. They just got to keep it rolling. They can't go in there and slip up against Rutgers. I think they need to win that Rutgers game, because now you're going to have to go up there. They have a kind of a gauntlet coming up where you're going to have to play Michigan State twice. Got to play Purdue again. Got to play Illinois. And I forgot there's another one in there. And they got to play Oregon. So they have like a little bit of a gauntlet coming up. And they do got to – they need to win these games that they should be winning. So, and that would be starting with Rutgers.
And got to face Sparty twice.
Twice. Team is on a roll right now.
Yep. All right. And then I've got a note over here on some pack hockey, some ice pack. They're ending a stellar season right now before moving up to some D1 club hockey. So, yeah. Yeah, they're going to be D1 next season. They've got two games left coming up this weekend. They're both against the UNC Chapel Hill Tar Heels. One is there in Chapel Hill, and then the second game is to be on Sunday at the Lenovo Center. They are trying to sell tickets. They are trying to get everybody packing into that Lenovo Center. They're playing for the Governor's Cup.
For the Governor's Cup.
Yep.
The UNC.
So that should be an exciting game.
Yeah.
All of it to be aired on ESPN Plus.
Good for hockey down here.
Yep. So.
Yep.
And then
definitely good for hockey down here.
Little note on the Demon Deeks. They split their rivalry week, beating UNC, which I obviously made a bad pick on that one, picking UNC to beat the Deeks, and then honestly taking the fall against the Duke Blue Devils on Saturday. Unfortunate for them, but I mean, Duke's a good team. They kept up with them most of the game, and I don't know. Like, the Deeks are a pretty good team, and surprisingly, this past Monday, Duke was actually behind NC State at halftime, and then they turned things around. They beat NC State. So I don't know. Might be
yeah,
some.
They've had a good run.
They've had a good run.
They had a good run for a little bit there. They haven't looked the greatest, but there's always next year too, so
yeah,
maybe just rebuild. Go to next
always,
year.
There's always next year for everybody. All right.
There's always next year.
Moving on to some NHL talk. Red Wings looking like they're in the wild card bubble right now. They're trying to get themselves in. Got to keep winning. Got to keep winning, boys. And then the Canes make
the games they need to win. Yep, they're winning the games they need to win.
The Canes make one of the craziest trades this past week. I mean, Martin Nikas for Rantanen. And you got Tyler Hall coming, and then they had to trade away a lot of picks, though.
Yep.
Three picks. Two had to go to...
Yeah, they got Canes getting rid of Natchez and Jack Drury draft picks, but they did get Taylor Hall and Rantanen. And, I mean, it looks like so far after two games, the trade's been equal to both sides. Natchez has gotten, I think, like three assists or... four assists for the Avs to start. Drury's got two goals to start. Rantanen's got a point or a goal and an assist. So, I mean, it looks like overall it was a good trade for every team. Canes needed this kind of superstar for their power play and to get over that hump, I think, in the playoffs.
Yeah, I like the trade for now, but that's the thing coming for the future is when you look at the trade of how it was divvied out, you got the Chicago Blackhawks paying part of – Rantanen's salary, which makes no sense, but I guess the Canes can't afford it, and he's supposed to be in the free agency after this season. So who's gonna pay the big bill?
He's the rental to win.
Yeah,
he's the rental to win right now.
So that's the thing is like if it doesn't pay off for the Canes to where they don't really win at the end of the day, win it all, and be lifting the cup at the end of the season. It's going to look like it wasn't that great of a trade. So we'll just have to see how everything falls out here.
Yeah, I'd like to see him at least make the cup. So, we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes.
And then, like I said at the beginning of this show, one thing that has not been mentioned before in any of these episodes that's finally making its appearance because we know nothing about the NBA. Basketball is not really our favorite sport unless we're talking about college basketball. The Pistons, they should be part of my Homeward Bound, according to my cousins. One of my cousins reached out to me and said, I started listening, and why are they not part of your Homeward Bound? I'm like, well, I don't really pay attention to the NBA. But she's like,
neither one of us really NBA people, we can talk about them. I can try to get into some.
She pointed this one portion out to me. They're making a way better season than their past three seasons because they were
Pistons have been awesome right now.
They were atrocious the past three seasons, is what I'm just trying to say. To start this off. This why this is this way. But yeah, they are now in the mix to make the playoffs. Right now, they are in eighth place in the Eastern Conference. They are sitting at 23-23. They've got a win at the end of the day to keep their place. I don't understand the NBA playoffs anymore because apparently 10 teams make it and only 8 really make it. Like that makes no sense to me. Make it make sense.
No.
This does not make sense.
It makes zero sense.
It doesn't make sense. Just does not make sense. But I guess it's to give teams more of a chance to make it into playoffs, sell more ads, sell more merch, all that stuff. I guess it's more money at the end of the day for the NBA. I hope the NHL doesn't really go to that. But if the NHL does go down that road of getting more teams, which they want to go down, I think that's the way that the NHL will have to go if we get more than 32 teams, if you ask me. Right? If we're still here at the cusp of 32 teams, I think we're fine. But if things are going to go down that road that people are saying that, you know, the talk of the town is we're going to get more teams in the NHL, we might have to start doing that like the NBA does and make it to where – hey, 10 teams could make it into the NBA, but really 4 of them's gotta play to make the last 2 spots for the 7-8 seed.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. Yeah.
But yep.
No, but yeah, but Pistons, I mean, they have looked good. I've been super impressed with them. I feel like except for the last, I don't know, 8 years or a decade, the Pistons have been terrible. Almost ever since they won their championship back with Chauncey Billups and them. So,
back in 2004. It's the last time
they look good. So it's exciting to see all these Detroit teams being really good this year.
Because they only went back, like after that 2004 win, they only went back to the championship probably like two or three more years, not like right after. It was probably 2006, 2007. And then it was right when the Spurs had Tim Duncan, they had Trey Parker, they had all those big guys for the Spurs, and that's when the Spurs was pretty much running game. And then you had LeBron James playing for the Miami Heat as well. And then you had the Dallas Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki and Steve Nash. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and that wraps up this episode of This and That Podcasting Podcast. Next week, we'll look back on how we did with our top five picks of the week. See if we made more money, gambling money or not. See how my top three player props will stay there. And, obviously my take of the Eagles, not winning the Super Bowl. I'm Alex Bauer.
Yeah. I'm Kyle Davis.
Y'all have a good rest of your day and good rest of your week. And hopefully you can find something other to do on February 9th. And I will repeat that line next week as well.
Yep, you will.
And it's gone.
And it's all gone.
It's gone. It's all gone.
It's gone. It's all gone.
All right. So, just for you, you hit your 2-hour limit. Cool. I got to upgrade my plan.